Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. By VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. ATV Swim Spas, the official training vessel of six-time Ironman World Champion Dave Scott. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation. This past year, we sent out 2,448 grants, totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com, on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Always love talking technology. And we're talking technology when it comes to running. There is no one better on the planet than Mr. Dave Jewell, longtime friend. Big D, how you doing?
Great, Bob. How are you doing?
I am spectacular. Always great to touch base. And right before we went to Kona, you sent me the Footbeat. And I opened it up, and I'm like, this is really a cool product, but I couldn't figure out what the heck I was supposed to do with it. So I needed to get you on to sort of walk me through how the product came about and what attracted you to it.
Got it. Okay. So let me go. I'll just go back in history. So
sure.
Like 5 years ago when I was at Zoot, you know, developing running shoes for Zoot Footwear, I got a call, and it was just a regular call during the day, and guy said, hey, I've got something I want to show you, and you were recommended to me to come talk to you. I'm like, okay. So this guy walks in, and he's got this little motor and talks about what the motor does. It was developed by a guy named David Mayer. He's an orthopedic surgeon, and he was walking around post-surgery watching his patients, and you know, in post-surgery, there's all kinds of devices used to increase circulation to lower edema and get rid of blood clots.
Sure.
Okay, so he's walking around, and he's watching his patients, and some of them aren't using the devices because they're uncomfortable, because they're big wrapped things wrapped around their legs, or other devices are manual, and you have to, the patient has to manually use it, and they weren't using it. So he thought, well, there's got to be a better solution to this. And so he went to work. The technology behind it is not new technology. So down at the bottom of the foot, you have this thing called the plantar venous plexus.
Yep.
And it's naturally occurring. So every time you take a step when you're walking, that system of arteries and veins is activated.
Uh-huh.
And the blood that comes from your heart goes through your muscles, ends up in your foot, gets returned back to the heart via the plantar venous plexus, via that pump. But when a patient comes out of surgery, they're not walking around, right?
Right. They're prone.
They're prone. And so it's been known, if you can create a pump or a system that actually pushes on that plantar venous plexus, you can actually clear the blood out of the foot and create circulation, getting blood back down into the, you know, fresh blood back into the area that needs healing.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was 10 years ago when he thought of this, and it's been 10 years in development. So when I saw it 5 years ago, it was the size of a VW bug. I mean, it was huge.
Yeah.
And they challenged me to figure out how to build a shoe around it.
So it would actually be part of a shoe. So you come out of surgery or whatever, and you basically put this thing on to increase blood flow.
Right, exactly. And, you know, so I challenged them that there's no way we could get this big motor into a shoe. The motor has to get smaller. And then we went to work on trying to figure out how we would build a shoe around it. Okay?
Yep.
Things didn't work out with Zoot. And Footbeat went to talk to a few other shoe companies, and that didn't work out. And sure enough, they figured out, you know what, we're going to have to go through this ourselves. And so in April of this year, they launched what you got in the mail, which is a complete package, which it's the motor embedded into an insole that has a shoe foot covering wrapped around it. And they introduced it into the world of medical with wild success. So orthopedists, physical therapists have all started using it with great success, clearing out edema, just doing everything that the Dr. Mayer dreamed of.
So then you go, it's funny because it sort of reminds me of the whole Alter G progression where that thing was built to get people who were having problems walking, give them air support and allow them to walk on a treadmill. And then there became an application for, you know, for athletes where they realized, oh, I could run less, I could run more, and I can run with less pounding. So when did when did you guys decide, you know what, this is great for the person who needs help with edema, but this also has an application for not just age group or regular athletes, but for elite athletes.
Right, exactly. So, you know, as you know my history in terms of running shoes, when I first saw the product, I instantly got it.
Yes, yep.
In terms of this is going to help runners.
Yep.
And really any athlete, but I, you know, because my head is always wrapped around runners and trying to figure out how to solve what the problems the runners are having, that I instantly got it. So if you look at the history of running and running shoes, runners have had a love-hate relationship with their shoes, right?
Of course, forever.
So the shoes get a lot of credit, and the shoes also get blamed, specifically when pain starts to occur. So, mm-hmm. And every runner can tell the story about getting plantar fasciitis or getting some kind, one of the top five running injuries, whether it's Achilles tendonitis, and then trying to solve that through finding a different running shoe.
Yeah. Yep. It's always right? The shoes.
It's always the shoes. And so as a guy that's been in the shoe business, I've been trying to figure out, wait, it's not really the shoes. We've got to figure out a different way. And so when I saw this product, I instantly got it. Well, you know what? You know, we talk about running as being, you know, all those injuries are overuse injuries, right? So rarely do you ever, no one goes out on a 20-mile run and tears their hamstring, right?
Yes.
It's usually something that they feel, you know, maybe they felt at the beginning of the run and then they just kind of let it slide and it just continued. And by the end of the run, they can't walk.
Right. Yep.
And so that's always termed, well, it's an overuse injury. You probably shouldn't have gone out running that day. And so what I look at it is it's not an overuse injury. It's a lack of recovery injury. So every time we go out running, we are constantly tearing. And specifically, if you look at the top five running injuries, they're not muscle related. They're all connective tissue related.
That's so true. Yeah.
So it's plantar fasciitis or Achilles tendonitis or it's runner's knee. That's all tissue related. And so what happens is every time we run, and I'll speak specifically to the plantar fasciitis, every time we go run, we are actually tearing, we're pulling and pulling and pulling at that plantar fascia. Every time we take a step, because we're putting 3.5 to 4 times our body weight onto that plantar fascia every single time. And so if we don't recover that or find a way to recover that faster, then that's where the overuse comes in. We just go out and run again on something that is not completely healed, and we do it again, and we do it again. And for some runners, it becomes something that they can't get rid of for 8-9 months because it's too painful.
Sure. So how does FootBeat actually help with that?
So if you think about it, so the first thing what FootBeat does is it's activating that plantar venous plexus with the exact right amount of pressure. So that little motor lifts a platform into the arch of your foot. and it does that at 20-second intervals. So every 20 seconds, a platform lifts up into your foot and pushes the blood from the bottom of your foot, pushes it back up to your heart at four times the velocity that it does naturally while you're sitting there.
Huh. And but so it'd be something that people would use before a workout, after a workout?
Yeah, so what I do, what I found, I've had them since July, and what we've developed is a protocol. So, like, you and I are of an age where we get up in the morning and you're going to go for a run, and that those first few steps are like, wow, am I going to get to a mile, right? Because it takes a while to get the body warmed up.
Right.
So what I do is I put them on for 20 minutes before I go for a run, and my running hasn't been better. In 3 years, it hasn't been better than it's been in the last 6 months.
And it's funny because that's the hardest part, right? Once you get going and get a little flow going, running feels great. But that first half mile or so, even if you're stretching beforehand, just is not something you look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the benefits that I found from Footbeat. And the great thing about them is you're not tethered to a wall. You don't have a cord. So if your run is with a group of buddies down in Mission Bay, you drive down there, you get there a little bit early, you turn the Footbeat on, and then when you meet the group, you're ready to go.
So do you run in them in the Footbeat, or do you just sort of walk around a little bit?
No, so typically if you're going to turn them on and use them, the only time the motor is activated is when you're sitting down, when there's no pressure.
I got it.
So as soon as you stand up and walk around, the motor senses that, and it will shut off on its own.
Interesting. So is it readily available at this point? Is this, how are they marketing and selling?
So you saw us in Kona.
Yep.
And so that was the first foray into the world of sport and why not we go to the, you know, the biggest event in the sport of triathlon and try to introduce it. And then through that we made a lot of contacts. Some of the bloggers and YouTube folks came by and said, oh, what's this? So we made that contact. And then we're going to go to Arizona next week.
Right, Ironman Arizona, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be at Arizona, right in the center of the expo. It's really, we're there to let everybody feel it and try it and get a feeling for what Footbeat does. And then you can buy it online.
And what's the price point?
They're $450,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, from a running perspective, runners look at me and go,
there's no way, yeah.
There's no way. That's expensive. And I just answer them by saying, well, how many pairs of shoes have you gone through trying to fix whatever problem you have? And they look at me and I said, this is three pairs of shoes. I guarantee you've been through more than three pairs of shoes.
But the triathletes don't hesitate.
Yeah, triathletes. There is some hesitation because it's still $450, but they understand.
They get it.
Because they understand what it means. Because if you're doing two workouts a day, that second workout could be a real struggle. But if you put Footbeat on before that and then put it on after, all of a sudden your workouts become a better experience.
Well, and the deal is the triathlete is stressing himself on the bike, also stressing in the swim. So anything that can help create less tension on the body before going for a run or after a run, that's really where the damage is done.
Absolutely, that's where. And when you get a fatigued body trying to run,
yep,
more damage is going to happen. And you mentioned the swim. You know, any triathlete that swims knows what their feet feel like when they cramp up.
Yes.
Put Footbeat on for 20 minutes before you swim. It'll be a major difference in terms of what your feet feel like. during the whole swim.
The other thing, the other thing you mentioned, it was that you used it when you went to Kona on the flight, right? Just to sort of loosen yourself up and almost like a compression sock type of thing.
Yeah. So I, Bob, you know me, I'm flying all over the
time.
World,
all
the marathon majors. And my first experience is I flew from San Diego to Berlin, and I put the foot feet on and I turned them on for 10 minutes every hour, as long as I was awake. And I got off the plane feeling like I could go for a run.
Wow.
My legs felt so good. So, yeah. And, you know, there's some, you have a motor on your foot, so there is some noise with the motor.
Sure.
And my first thought was, people are going to hear this. And they don't. The planes are so loud that.
That's really true. Yeah.
Yeah, no one hears the motor, and literally, it has changed. It has changed my flying. My legs never feel like tired and beat up. My feet aren't swollen ever anymore. Totally changed every flight.
Well, what's great about them too? They're pretty cool looking.
Yeah, Footbeat didn't. They had a really. They had a really good designer who designed them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I like them. Hey, so the other thing I want to talk to you about, and if people want to find out more about Footbeat, is it footbeat.com?
Yeah, footbeat.com.
Okay, perfect. So I want to talk to you a little about Mr. Cameron Wirth, the guy who's an Olympic rower from 2004, a roadie who, obviously races with Chris Froome and all the big boys, and then got in the triathlon and sort of took Kona by storm this year, his first year as a pro, going 4:12, blowing the bike ride apart. And I know he's been working on his running with you. What do you see in the, he's talking about wanting to go 7:40 for an Ironman, and if people are running 2:40, why can't he run 2:40? I mean, I love that attitude, but how realistic is it?
You know, it's interesting. I look at Cam almost like he's almost like a racehorse.
Yes.
You know, when you see him lead horses on into the race, those horses are just tugging and pulling because they can't wait to race.
Right.
They just can't wait to race. And Cam is that kind of guy. He thrives on racing. So from that standpoint, his mindset is all there. He'll do whatever it takes to get to whatever his goal is.
Right.
So I love that about him. I love the fact that that's just who he is, and he's so fun to work with because there's no preconceived notion of what he should be doing.
Right. Yeah, this is all new to him.
Right, he just listens, and if you tell him, I want you to go run backwards for half a mile, he'd go run backwards.
Right, he's very coachable, right.
So from that standpoint, I think I think it's just endless what his potential is.
Well, he's such a breath of fresh air, because the coach of Team Sky, I think Cam is the first triathlete he's worked with, and they're doing Busselton, which I think will be his eighth Ironman of the year. So they're sort of going against every preconceived notion of what you should do in training and racing, and sort of taking the world by storm a little bit and saying, well, why should we follow the norm? Why can't we create our new normal?
Exactly. I think you nailed it. That's exactly the way they're approaching it, but they're approaching it the way Team Sky approaches things. Every single percent is important.
Right.
And so, you know, it's, So when he came to me and said he's going to race again, I said, of course you are.
And his whole thing is, listen, people look at me and think, okay, he's a front pack swimmer, probably the best cyclist in the sport right now, but I want to win. I want to go 7:40. I want to go 7:40. I want to win races outright. So I want to run in the 2:40s and 2:50s. He's not saying I need to have X amount of lead to win the race, and because I'm an Uber swimmer cyclist, he's like, I'm a triathlete, and I'm going to get nail all three.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll tell you, you know this. You interviewed him, I think, 2 years ago in Kona.
Yes, yeah, he was hilarious.
And he had a broken foot, right? Or he was just coming off a broken foot?
Yep.
Well, how do you think he broke that foot?
Mountain biking.
Right. But he wasn't a runner at the time. He had qualified, obviously, but he still wasn't a runner at that time.
No.
And so when I first met him, I will tell you this, and he won't get mad at me because I say this, but his coach at the time called me up and said, "Hey, I really need you to look at this guy that I've got." I didn't know who Cam was. He just gave me his name, so I Googled him, and I'm like, "Oh, okay." I don't know what I can tell him, but all right, I'll go work with him. So we met up in the parking lot at the Rose Bowl, and I had him go run around the parking lot and then do some stuff that I normally do with him. And I leaned over to the coach and I said, "That's the ugliest runner I've ever seen."
Nice.
And he goes, "Well, that's why I called you."
Right. Yeah.
And so, and the great thing is I told him that day, I said, "You look like a rower who's trying to run."
Right.
Which is exactly what he was. He was a rower.
Yep.
Right? And so his shoulders were in like a rower's position when he's trying to run. So anyway, we worked on just relaxing his form and just basically teaching him how to run. And I can tell you, the way he's running today versus what he was running there then, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. And that's all this kid that just has this mindset and work ethic that says, "I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do."
Well, it's funny because this year, when you looked at him running, when he was leading the first part of the run, he looked great. Here's where you're sort of expecting him to look. He looked a hell of a lot better than Lionel Sanders did.
He did.
Yeah.
He looked super smooth, and he looked, we talked over and over again about that that part of the leaky drive. We talked over and over again, and he looked exactly the way I wanted him, the way we talked about it. Obviously, he's talking to his main coach, too.
Right.
But you get off the bike in first place, I mean, it's a pretty exciting thing, right?
Yeah, it's easy to get carried away. Absolutely.
A little easy to get carried away. And I don't think he really did get carried away.
No, he didn't.
I think he did great.
Well, and he's the type of kid with the build he has. He pretty legitimately could run 2:55 to 3 hours off the bike pretty much every time out.
Yeah, I think there's, he's run 3 hours.
Yeah, Wales, yeah.
In Wales, and he ran 302 or 305 in Sweden.
Yep.
After he shut it down.
Right.
And so, I don't know what he could run, and I try not to look at that or talk to him about that. We're just trying to improve every day and just worry about the run tomorrow.
Right.
And we're not looking at times or anything, and we'll learn something from, he has his plan for Western Australia, and we're going to, we'll measure what that was and move forward.
Well, he wants to go sub 4 on the bike. I'll be the first guy to do that. And then he says, "There's no reason I can't run in the 240s. I'm like, "Oh, you know what? I think 250s would be fine." If he's able to ride near 4 hours and run 3 hours, he pretty much is going to win 90% of the races he does.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to win 90% of the races. Yeah.
So, David, you've been involved in the running industry going back to the Super Dave days with Roadrunner Sports. And it's funny because we can look at all the different technology in cycling, right? All the carbon wheels and different aero positions and all the rest of it. How much has running changed? And is footbeat one of the more novel things you've seen over the years?
That's interesting. So from running itself, running hasn't changed that much.
Right.
It's still a lot of work. It's not, you know, from the if we talk triathlon, the cycling and the swimming.
Yep.
Swimming is technique. You either have the technique or you don't. Cycling, you can build fitness really fast on the bike. But running is hard, and it always has been. And look, it took Shalane Flanagan 7 years to figure out the marathon, right?
Right.
So look what she did. It took her 7 years, and it turned out really good. So, no, running itself hasn't changed. But, yeah, when I look at products that help runners, there hasn't been a lot of true innovation in products that help runners. And when I look at Footbeat, I instantly got it.
That's cool.
A runner's main form of movement is their foot, and here's a technology that is trying to increase circulation from the foot. So that means circulation is getting back down to the foot, which I just thought, I get it. That makes total sense.
Makes perfect sense. Absolutely. Yeah. So Gwen Jorgensen announced yesterday that she, rather than going for another gold medal in triathlon, she's going to the marathon, hoping to make the marathon team in 2020. As a guy who has, you know, obviously been successful as a triathlete and as a runner, there's certainly a benefit to cross training. And I look at this and go, this is a great opportunity for the sport of triathlon to sort of show if somebody combines swimming and cycling and maybe runs a little less, they can become potentially a world-class marathoner. What were your thoughts when you saw Gwen making this move?
Well, when I read it, it didn't surprise me.
Yeah.
At all. Gwen is she has all the tools. She has the running, the willing to work.
Yeah.
And she's got that mindset that says, clearly you don't win Olympic gold without a mindset that you know what it takes to do.
Right.
So I think she's got all those tools. But yeah, I someone asked me the other day, because it was actually the Footbeat CEO. We were talking about runners, and you know, runners get there's something like 80% of runners will get injured this year, some crazy
right.
number like that.
Yep.
Right. And he said, I want to meet the 20%. I want to meet the 20% that aren't injured. And I said, well, you're talking to one right now. And I 100% attribute my injury-free running to the sport of triathlon.
See, and that's one of the big things. I remember interviewing Bobby McGee, who was coaching Gwen, right? And he said, Bob, the thing with Gwen is she's running less now than she did in college and running faster.
Yep.
Because she's substituting a lot of her workouts, the old running workouts, with hard, intense cycling, with hard, intense swimming, and she's staying healthier. I've always believed that run less, run forever would be a great motto, but it doesn't seem that the running world will ever embrace that.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one to crack. I think, runners are...
They run.
Yeah, they run.
I know.
Pretty simple. I don't need anything else. I need a pair of shoes and a trail to go run on, and I'll go run.
Right.
But I think I read an article an interview that Gwen did, and she mentioned the same thing, that I'm running faster today than I ever have.
Right.
And it's all based on less miles. So it'll be interesting to see. She says she's just going to be a runner.
But it'll be
interesting to see if she incorporates some bike rides and swims.
Because we both saw that before with Carol Montgomery, who made the Canadian team for, I think, both the 10,000 and triathlon. And as she focused more and more on the 10,000, and ran, basically did less swimming and cycling, her running suffered.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, one of these days, or look at you, like you said, you're one of the healthier runners around. The key for being a runner is being able to get out there and do it. And if you're always dealing with injuries, it makes it really hard to run faster. And yeah, how old are you now, David?
Oh, I can't believe you asked that question.
I can 53. Ask that question. I'm in the 65 to death category, so I can ask whatever I want.
I am 53.
See, you're 53 years old, and you're running healthy, and you're running happy, and
yeah.
you're not burnt out, and I'm guessing a ton of that changed for you when you incorporated triathlon.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I was an injured runner before my roommates in college forced me to do a triathlon,
and it changed everything. and your running didn't suffer.
No, my running didn't suffer at all.
Love that. Hey, David, congratulations on what's going on with Footbeat. This is now that I know how to use the product, I will be giving it a shot because I'm one of those guys right now. I'm not an injured runner either, mainly because I run about 5 miles a week. So I ride and swim and fake my way through race day. That's the way it works. But I love it. I love any product that helps keep runners healthy and happy is a good thing. And again, it's footbeat.com for all the information. Dave Jewell, one of the, when it comes to running, nobody knows more than Dave Jewell does. Dave, as always, thanks so much for taking time and chatting.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, again, this is Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by Tough Man Triathlon Series, toughmantri.com, velofix.com, the coolest mobile bike shop around, atvswimspas.com. The home of the 6-time Ironman World Champion, Dave Scott, and his official training vessel. Our Challenge Athletes Foundation, 2,448 grants last year, totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And until next time, remember, endurance lives here.